Tell me when we're on and where.
Well, this is it. We're on. So, I know I just told you that I've heard it. You did an interview with FMA Talk Live. You did one.
Yes, I did one.
And then, I feel like you did another one too.
I've done one with Channel 18, Kababayan Today, or yeah. I think it's now called Kababayan Today. It used to be called Kababayan LA.
Yeah.
I've done a couple for them.
Yeah, that's right. You were on that. But anyway, I have heard a little bit about how you got started, but, you know, I was wondering if we could start from the beginning. So how did you get started in martial arts?
Okay, so I think like most people, you watch movies, you look at books, you see TV, mm-hmm. and you see martial arts, and you think that would be something interesting. And when I was in college, first year, UCLA.
Yeah.
And that was the time when a lot of FMA was coming out in magazines.
Was it really?
Or around that time. Yeah. This would be early 70s, maybe 73 or so.
Like in Black Belt?
Yeah, because I remember seeing articles on magazines. It would probably have been Black Belt and Inside Kung Fu and, you know, the few martial arts magazines.
Yeah.
I remember seeing Filipino martial arts in magazines, and that's what got me first. That was the first thing I noticed. That was the first thing that I picked up information about Filipino martial arts. So in the Philippines, I had vaguely heard there was some Filipino art, but I had never seen it. So, I think I was at UCLA, not early 70s, probably about 77, 78.
Mm-hmm.
And I was part of the Filipino club. And one of the things they do is they have a cultural night every year or every semester or something like that.
Uh-huh.
Maybe it was annually. And so since I was involved with them and they were trying to figure out what events or what guests to invite, I told them that they should try inviting this group I had read about, Dan Inosanto and Kali Academy.
Yeah.
And no internet back then, so I think I found an address or a phone number.
Yeah, probably the phone book?
Probably one of the magazines.
Oh, okay.
Or maybe a phone book, I don't remember. But I gave it to the person who was in charge of organizing things. And the couple times I asked him if he was able to get through, he was not sure yet if they were going to be coming.
Yeah.
And I think I forgot to ask about it until almost the same night we were having the event or very close to the event, and then I heard they were actually coming. So it was in an auditorium, I remember that. And so sure enough, it was Guru Dan, bunch of his students. I think Chris Kent and Jeff Imada were probably in there because this was his demo group. And that was the first time I saw Filipino martial arts live, aside from looking at some pictures in a magazine.
What did you think when you saw it live?
Seeing it live made me want to learn it.
This is awesome.
Yeah, so I said, you have weapons, you have swords, you have empty hands. And Guru Dan's old group, they were very well-rounded in a lot of things.
Yeah.
And also, so I think we were able to invite them back.
Yeah.
Two or three times.
Wow.
So they came back to UCLA at least, if not two, maybe three times.
Man, that's awesome.
So you see them. And
were there drummers? Did they play music?
I don't remember now, but I know they used to have drummers back then.
Yeah.
So it was they probably did. And one of the events I participated in as part of the group in UCLA was performing at Echo Park on one of these Filipino events.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember seeing them also there. in one of these Filipino events. And I do remember Guru Dan waving to some guy in a crowd who held up a big cane, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if that was Jack Santos or not, but it was more than likely another, you know, another Filipino martial artist.
Now, Guru Vivek, you were born in the Philippines?
Correct.
How old were you when you moved to the U.S.?
Almost 14.
So, like, for me, I didn't know, actually, that Guru Dan was Filipino till later. I don't know why. I didn't even think of Filipinos and martial arts. I think that's what it was. And so, when I found out that he was Filipino, for me, as a Filipino-American, especially in Baltimore at the time, they had, like, a very small Asian and even smaller Filipino-American community. It was, like, an amazing thing. Like, man, this, like, Filipino guy, he trained with Bruce Lee, did all these things, just weapons.
Oh, but...
How did you perceive him at that age?
When I saw him, I was already in college.
Yeah.
It was my first year, so I was no longer 13 or 14.
Yeah.
But at that time, I lived in L.A.
Yeah.
And their school was in Torrance, and I didn't have a car, so there was no way for me to take class. However, I think a year or two later, maybe a year later, we moved to Carson,
mm-hmm.
which is actually pretty close to Torrance.
Yeah.
And so eventually, I did start at the Cali Academy, and it was 1980. That's when I first went to their school.
Did you just go there and be like, to sign up for classes?
I did. I went and signed up. Because, we were close by.
Yeah.
I had a car. I had a car at that time.
Yeah.
And so my first instructor was Guru Richard Bustillo.
Mm-hmm.
He used to teach all the beginners.
Yeah.
And Guru Dan used to teach all the advanced people,
okay.
including, you know, especially the JKD and the Kali class. And after my class ended, everyone would leave. But every now and then I would stay a little bit longer just to watch maybe the next class.
Yeah.
And then I realized that the last classes were the advanced classes. The people who were on the demo team.
Yeah.
So, I didn't know if I would be allowed to watch the class, but I decided to just stay one day and watch. And if they told me to leave, I would leave. Nobody asked me to leave. And so, after my class, I would just sit there and watch all the classes all the way till the night ended.
Wow.
So, I got to watch, you know, all the advanced people with their Kali and their JKD. And they had a leather couch, I remember that. And I would just sit on the couch until their class was over. And since nobody ever asked me to leave, I used to watch him all the time. Jeff Imara, I used to watch him all the time in class.
Wow.
Because he was, of course, a senior by then.
Yeah.
Fred Jin, I remember him because he was one of the seniors.
Is the guy that was drumming today?
The guy who was drumming tonight.
Oh, man. And he started drumming early this morning.
And the reason I know I started in 1980 is because I remember him participating in a Golden Gloves event.
Oh, really?
And I asked him a couple years ago, when did you participate in Golden Gloves? He said it was 1980.
Wow.
And so that's why I knew I started 1980, because I had forgotten when I started already. I wasn't sure when. But according to Freddie, his Golden Gloves was 1980, which means I started in 1980.
Wow. Was Paul Vunak at the school?
Yeah, he was actually assistant under Guru Richard, so he would sometimes help teach my class. The class I was in, he would help teach the class I was in.
How was he? I've never met Paul Vunak. I watched a lot of videos.
Well, he was one of the senior students, and yeah. I was a beginning student, so I never really got to talk to him.
Yeah.
He was just one of the instructors.
Yeah.
But eventually, I did. I had to stop because of college. I think, I'm not sure how long I was there. It could have been a year, could have been 2 years. Uh-huh. Probably no more than that.
What about Guru Richard? Was he a... How would you describe him as an instructor?
Oh, he was a good instructor.
Yeah.
And sometimes... sometimes he would say... Since he would see me sitting watching.
Yeah.
Let's say I was in phase one, which was the beginning class. And maybe the class phase two was happening, and he would see me sitting, and they might have an odd person. Once in a while, he would just have me
jump in
the class just to provide, you know,
yeah,
a partner for somebody else. And I remember his son, he used to partner with his son, who was smaller than me.
Uh-huh.
And of course, now when I see the son, he's like probably double my size.
Does he train? Does he practice martial art?
He was training in IMB. I don't know if he's still training in IMB, but I remember him, and I remember him at one of the tournaments with the IMB people. So yeah. I know he was training over there.
Yeah. So you're at the Kali Academy for like a year or so?
Probably. I mean, I don't think it was more than 2 years.
Yeah.
But I did, as I said, I was able to watch the advanced classes for quite a while.
Yeah.
And so I went to college and went to work.
What did you major in college?
Business computer methods in Cal State Long Beach.
So then what was your job after you left school?
My job was with a freight forwarding company.
Huh.
I was doing some billing. Mm-hmm. Then I was doing billing, then I got into accounting, and then I did all sorts of things at that company because I, for one thing, their main client was the U.S. government.
Mm-hmm.
And they would ship the personal belongings of soldiers from the U.S. to, let's say, Germany or to Japan, or from, say, California to Texas or to Hawaii. And so we facilitated those transfer of goods, and then we would bill the government for the service.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things I discovered one time was I found that you could bill extra if the delivery was more than 50 miles.
Hmm.
Let's say from the port.
Yeah.
To the destination was more than 50 miles, you could add extra. You could bill for extra.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody told me that. But when I read the actual rule book, I found that you could do it. So I started billing for those charges, and people were surprised why I was able to get higher billings. And I said, well, look, you could charge if it's over 50 miles. And somehow they had overlooked that.
Yeah.
And so when they saw that, one of the other things I had got to do was to start figuring out mileage for all the deliveries. So I started making a chart of from here, let's say Los Angeles, from Long Beach to Anaheim, how many miles? Long Beach to Santa Barbara, those things.
Yeah.
So I started doing that. That's why they started giving me more things. And so that's why I said I did a whole bunch of things in that company.
Yeah.
And one of the things I eventually ended up doing was being in charge of all the files, because you could go back a certain time for things you didn't miss in billing.
Oh, yeah.
So that was money that they could have got, but never billed for. So they went back as far as they can, and I became in charge of organizing all those files, you know.
Did they give you a bonus?
Yeah.
That's good.
I got bonuses at Christmas time. My salary went up. But unfortunately, eventually the company went out of business. Yeah. So that was a good job.
So when did you resume your training?
I resumed my training when I came back. The Kali Academy was now the IMB.
Uh-huh.
Inosanto, Martinez, and Bustillo.
Yeah.
The first IMB location, because right now I think they are on their second mm-hmm. location. But I was at IMB on the first location. And this time when I came back, I decided I was just going to concentrate on the Filipino martial arts.
How long had you been away?
I'm not sure, but it was probably maybe 2 to 3 years.
Oh, that's not, yeah. Okay.
Maybe 4 at the most. Yeah. I'm not sure because I really don't keep track of dates anymore.
Yeah.
But I remember coming back, and so I signed up for Guru Dan's Kali class.
Yeah.
Instead of taking the face classes, which is the general class, I decided I would just do Filipino martial arts. So that was twice a week. I think it was Tuesdays and Thursdays.
Mm-hmm.
And Guru Richard didn't mind me signing up for it because he already knew me.
Mm-hmm.
He remembered me. So he just said, if you're interested, just sign up for the class or ask Guru Dan if you can be in the class. Mm-hmm. So I signed up for the class. And at some point, they brought in some extra instructors for a short-term classes. I think one of them was Mitz Yamashita, who came in to teach. I'm not sure if it was jujitsu, but it was grappling.
Yeah.
And I know he was connected with the, I think the Gracies. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But he was connected with Brazilian jujitsu. And another person they brought in to teach was Professor Greg Lantayao, who was representing Villabril Kali.
Oh.
And so he taught Mondays and Wednesdays. And since Guru Dan taught Tuesdays and Thursdays, I was taking FMA class Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Wow, that's good.
So So Guru, Professor Greg's class was, I think, supposed to be just 3 months, just short term.
Yeah.
But it went longer than 3 months.
Yeah.
But eventually he decided he would rather just teach outside on his own. So he left IMB, but he invited a few people if they wanted to continue training with him. Mm-hmm. And I was one of those people.
Awesome.
So I was thinking, well, the class is Monday, Wednesdays. I could still train in Guru Dan's Tuesday, mm-hmm. Thursday class. However, after he left IMB, he changed the days to Tuesday, Thursday. And so I had to tell Guru Dan that I had to stop his class for a while.
Really?
It was the same day now. I couldn't take two classes at the same time. And the same, you know, the same
time. You really liked the Villabril?
Well, I wanted to try it.
Yeah.
You know. And he did ask me if I wanted to train with it. And so I said yes, thinking it would stay Monday, Wednesday.
Yeah.
But I said eventually it became a Tuesday, Thursday class.
Yeah.
So I told Guru Dan I was going to train with Professor Greg for a while. But in my mind, I knew that eventually I would come back to train with Guru Dan. So in my mind, it was temporary thing, trained with Professor Greg while he was available and around, but eventually I was gonna go back to train with Guru Dan. That was how I looked at it.
Yeah.
And then I think after a while, I don't remember how long I was with Professor Greg. I think it was a couple of years also.
Oh wow, that's a long time.
And one of the things we did while I was with him was go to a San Jose event.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the event where Mark Denny of the Dog Brothers interviewed all those masters.
For, yes.
And in fact, one of those people who was I took a picture of then Grandmaster Ben Largusa with Leo Heron.
Uh-huh.
And Angel Cabales and Dione Cañete.
Were they all there?
All in one picture. I took a picture of all those four people together.
Did you tell Ben Largusa that you're
Villabril
disciple?
Well, I don't remember if I talked to him or not, but we were there as part as students of Professor Greg, who was part of their organization.
Mm-hmm.
And this year in Cebu, when I was in Cebu, I was looking at SGM Juni's new book.
Yeah.
And somewhere in the front, there's a picture of the four of them that I took in San Jose.
Yeah.
And I told him, oh, here's the picture I took. And he goes, yes, I remember. You gave this to me. And we look at the date, and I think it's probably around 30 years ago.
Wow.
And so he goes, yeah, I remember you, because I've known you a long time. That's what he always tells me. And he remembers that I gave him that picture.
Wow, that's awesome.
And so, actually, somebody was testing that day at the school. And we were at his office, which was one floor below the testing area. Mm-hmm. So he went upstairs, brought the book with him, showed it to everyone. He says, look at this picture. He gave this to me almost 30 years ago.
Wow.
To all those, he was telling that to the masters and grandmasters, yeah, who were there, you know, who were there supervising the test.
Wow, that's awesome.
So I was with Professor Greg, and then because of work, I quit. You know, mm-hmm, I had to stop also because of work. I didn't have time.
Yeah.
And eventually, when I had time again, I decided it was time to go back to the Inosanto Academy. So that's what I did. And
so how did you start instructing a class?
Well, what happened was, when my work went out of business, and I had some money saved up, so I didn't have to look for work immediately.
Yeah.
At that time, Guru Dan was teaching self-defense at Harbor College, a junior college. So I asked his wife, Paula, if I could come and watch the class.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, you can come, but you have to help out. And I'm thinking, I've never helped at a class. So I went, but since everyone in class was a beginner, and I had several years of training already, I realized I could help. So I started showing up at their Harbor City class,
mm-hmm,
just to be one of the assistants. Burton Richardson would also come and assist. Damon Caro, and I forgot who else. There were maybe a couple more. So I was not the only one helping out.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that helping out, which I think I did that for a couple of years also. In fact, when I got a job, which was not too far, I was able to get my job to let me off have a longer lunch break.
Yeah.
And I would actually go to the junior college, help out, and then go back to work.
That's good.
So
I used to do that when I worked at, now it's been a long time, so I don't mind just saying it, but when I worked at Loyola Marymount, I sometimes would just block off like a meeting time on my calendar, and then I'd race over and take the 10:30 Kali class at the academy, and then race back, change. No one even knew I was gone.
Well, I did tell my work that I was part of a class, so they allowed me to, I think on certain days, to take a longer lunch break, and then I would just stay longer at work.
Yeah.
And so that's, I was good, able to continue helping for a while.
Yeah.
And I think that's when they realized that I could be an instructor.
Yeah.
So I was taking class at Guru Dan's Glencoe School. And one day they just gave me an instructor certificate.
Nice.
And so I was surprised to get one. And then not too long after that, they moved to the Manchester location. Mm-hmm. And at that point, I was offered a class.
That's great.
If I want to teach a class, and I think that was around 1994.
So you've been teaching this class
for over 20 years.
Yeah.
The Friday night class at 8 p.m. at Inosanto Academy, over 20 years now.
I feel like that's probably, like, other than Guru's classes, the classes that he teaches, that's probably the, like, the longest standing class. Wouldn't you say?
Probably, because most of the other instructors who were there are no longer there.
Yeah. So through the years, how have you, well, I mean, I know it's a long span of time, but through the years, do you think, I'm sure it has, I guess I'm just asking your thoughts on it, how your class, like your curriculum and what you do in the class, how it has changed?
Well, through the years, I was lucky enough to either attend seminars outside the school or be at the school when people came in to teach seminars. So I got exposed to Doce Pares, Lameco, some of Pendekar Paul Dethwar's Silat, Bukti Negara, and just people who would maybe do one seminar at the school. Or the Leo Heron's Bahalana group used to come in regularly and teach workshops.
And Grandmaster Leo?
Yes.
Wow.
He was the one who would lead it. And so just through the years, I met people, and at some point I started meeting people outside the school.
Mm-hmm.
So I picked up things obviously from the academy and also things outside the academy. So I think that's what helped me. And then I started bringing some of my students at the academy to tournaments outside the school, or events, because I started to meet people in the LA community. So I think that was one of the advantages I could offer, that I could have our students interact with people from other FMA groups outside the academy, whether it's a tournament or just a seminar or just some event, other events.
Now, did you, since you were with the Villabrille group for a few years, did you incorporate some of that curriculum into your teaching?
Very little, because I don't think I learned enough. I think I didn't go to a higher level because I didn't stay long enough.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to teach something too much that I know I don't understand as much or as well.
Yeah.
So little pieces might pop up here and there, but I don't claim to represent them since I know I don't know their material well enough.
Yeah. So, I know that you've met a lot. You have, like, a lot of awesome pictures, I think. I think it's maybe on your Facebook page, like, with some of the older teachers and masters that have come through. Aside from your, little bit of time with the Villabrille group, were there any other teachers that you got to spend some time with and develop and experience their systems?
Well, one of them would be the Doce Pares group, because someone we both know, Ramon Rubia, was also a friend from college, from Cal State Long Beach.
Oh, you knew him in college?
Yes, I knew him in college, and later.
What was he like?
He was actually, he was one of our athletes, because I was also part of the group in Cal State Long Beach, so we had a basketball team.
Oh, yeah.
We had this people who played volleyball, and he would always be one of those athletic people.
Wow.
And so, in fact, I met Burton Richardson while I was in Cal State Long Beach. one of his friends brought him over to one of our some event at the school,
mm-hmm.
and I think he had a stick with him or something like that. And so that's, in fact, I have a picture of our first meeting.
Yourself and Burton?
Yeah. Doing some training. There's at least two pictures I posted of our first day of meeting. And
wow.
I didn't realize I still had those pictures until I dug them up in our garage maybe a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so I even have one picture of a demo that we both did together. And they're posted. They're both in my Facebook page or an Instagram page.
Mm-hmm.
And I first started, and one of the groups I met was the Doce Pares group. And at that time, Ramon Rubia was married to one of the Cañeres.
Yeah.
And they actually had a world tournament that was held here in L.A. in Carson or Torrance. I forgot where exactly where the gym was located.
Uh-huh.
And so I started training with Wendell Cañete, who was one of the Cañete, you know, from the Cañete family.
Yeah.
Then at some point, Wendell couldn't teach anymore, so Ramon took over the class. And that's how I met Junie Cañete, who I had actually met before on some seminars that he was doing, I think when I was still with IMB.
Yeah.
So I think I just got lucky that through those years I was able to meet some people.
Mm-hmm.
And some people I just trained with in seminars, but some of the ideas or concepts they did, you know, were something I remembered. And now what I teach now is everything I've learned through all these years,
mm-hmm.
all mixed, all combined together, you know. Of course, the person I've spent the longest time with would be Guru Dan,
mm-hmm.
but all those other people have influenced my teachings.
Now, I know that, you know, obviously I knew you before this, but for a few years you were going to Sayok Sama-Samas and mostly Sama-Samas, right? You didn't go to other events or...
Well, one time I was invited to be in an instructor.
Okay.
Instructor weekend, correct.
How did that even happen? I don't think I knew how... I just knew that you were going to be there, or maybe I saw you, but
well,
I think
I'm not exactly sure of Sayok history,
mm-hmm.
but I do know that at some point, Tuhon Chris had stopped teaching. He had retired from teaching.
Yeah.
And there was a time when he decided he wanted to come out and teach again. And so he knew Guru Dan, because Guru Dan knew him and his father.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this was at the Manchester Academy. And so one day I'm with Guru Dan and Tuhon Chris came. Well, I remember Guru Dan saying that he had a guest who was instructor who was coming in who specialized in the knife.
Mm-hmm.
And he came and I think he just taught class or maybe it was a workshop. But that's how I met him. And at that point he was still thinking or planning to come out with his system, which I would think is what is now the current Sayok, what would you say, curriculum or system?
Yeah.
So I remember him, he had an article that was typed out and printed.
Yeah.
And it was the article that would say, that was about himself and his system.
Oh, and, interesting.
Yeah, and he was saying that I have this article and I want to get this published so people, you know, will know that I am going to be coming out with my system.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember him telling me that. And then I lost track of him because then he didn't come. He wasn't able to come back to the academy for a while. But I remember seeing him at least a couple of times when he would come and do workshops.
Yeah.
And so I think he disappeared for a while. And the next thing I knew, there were Sayok training training groups in LA. And he had, you know, he did come out. And of course, he came out and was successful at it. And so what happened was Joey,
Peña. You
know, Joey and Travis,
uh-huh.
you know, who were running a training system under them. Were mm-hmm. they the first ones in LA?
Yes, they were.
Okay, yeah. So I knew both, somehow I met both of them,
mm-hmm.
and they were in Long Beach, which was close mm-hmm. to where I was living.
Yeah.
So a couple of times I went over there, and I don't remember if I took pictures for them at that time, but as far as me going to Sama-Sama, I think what happened is the Atienza family, you know, Tuhon Carl,
mm-hmm.
and Tuhon Bong and Dee, they had also come out, because I would see, at least on the internet, I would see Sayok events happening.
Mm-hmm.
And then I remember seeing that they were introducing the Atienza family
yeah.
as one of their, what would you call it? Like part of their family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so one year, the Atienzas came to participate in the Cold Steel tournament.
Uh-huh, yeah. I remember that.
And that was also the time when I had students competing at Cold Steel.
Mm-hmm.
And Willie Loriano, who's another teacher we both know, would also have students at Cold Steel. So I always used to have people in the finals, and mm-hmm. so did Willie. But that year, the other person who was in the finals was Leo. Leo's last name?
Manalo.
Leo Manalo. In fact, he won first place in the sword. So, and that was the year I met the Atienzas, because
yeah.
I introduced myself to them. And they came to visit, actually, the Inosanto Academy.
Did they? I don't think I knew that.
Well, they were in town.
Yeah.
They stayed for a short time.
Yeah.
And they told me that they wanted to visit the academy. So I said, sure. I mean, anybody could come visit. So they did come to visit. And they also did a seminar at Travis's school mm-hmm. in Long Beach.
Yep. I was there at that seminar.
And I was there. I was invited to come over there, and I took pictures for them.
Oh, that's good.
I think I took pictures for at least two of their seminars in Long Beach.
Uh-huh.
And then sometime after that, Tuhon Chris was able to finally visit L.A. again.
Mm-hmm.
And every time he would visit L.A., the Inosanto Academy, which Guru Dan would always ask him to teach the Kali class.
Yeah.
And so he was teaching class, and he recognized me from, I guess, a couple years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And then I asked him if he needed a photographer for Sama-Sama.
Mm-hmm.
So he goes, oh, I don't really need a photographer, but maybe you can help my video guy. So he invited me to go to Sama-Sama to help out with the video.
Bob Burgee,
because he was... And then Bob goes, well, I take videos and I try to take pictures also. And so I had some pictures on me that I had taken. I showed it to Bob and he goes, oh, well, you take better pictures than me. Why don't you take the pictures? And if I need help with the video, I'll let you know.
Yeah.
And so that's how I started. So instead of being the video assistant, I became more the photographer.
Yeah.
And that's how that started.
you were around for like several years.
I was around for several years because I, every year, I would just send them a message and ask if they still needed a photographer. Mm-hmm. I never assumed that every year I would come back and do it. I would always ask if they needed a photographer, and for several years they always said yes.
Yeah.
And then there was a point when I became busy, and I told them that I would not be available because one, I had started doing my training camp in Cebu in the Philippines.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I was not able to take the time from Cebu and the time with them all in the same time frame. So I had to tell them I was no longer available. But nowadays, with everyone having a phone, I mean, it's very easy now for people to take pictures.
Yeah, so, that's true.
So I think, I don't really think they really need a photographer for their events, when almost everyone can basically take pictures quicker.
And that's true, but I think, I mean, that's true. And someone can always collect it and put it together, but I think the nice thing about having a dedicated videographer or photographer is that there's like a centralized source for all the footage.
Yeah, well, yeah. I never did the I never really ended up doing the video, except for a couple of times when they needed someone to run a camera. But those cameras I ran were not my cameras.
Yeah.
And the tapes that I shot, you know, went directly to the SIOC organization. So and that was a few times, but that was my main association with the SIOC organization as their photographer.
Mm-hmm. I know that he, Pumano Tohon, helped with the name Filipino Martial Heritage.
Correct. Because one of the things he likes to do is he likes to, how would you describe it, when he would ask questions?
Yeah.
To make you maybe think in a deeper way.
Mm-hmm.
And so at that time, my group was called H2O FMA.
Yeah.
And I was not 100% satisfied with the name, but it was the name that I had come up with a couple years earlier, just to establish a name for my group.
Yeah.
Rather than saying Victor's group.
VG Kali.
Correct. So I decided, I took that name mainly because one of the things I'm interested in is in flow.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And sensitivity, and so that's why the concept of water.
Mm-hmm.
But then people would say, H2O FMA, is that water FMA? So one day, Tuhon Chris just said, what is that H2O FMA? What does that mean? And of course, what he wanted was, he wanted me to think about the name and maybe get a better one.
Yeah.
And so that night, this was in the Poconos, by the way. It was after one of the sama-samas. And so I was thinking of a name, and of course, a lot of words are already being used as far as names. It's hard to think of an original name nowadays.
You didn't want
to
call it Filipino
Fighting Systems?
Yeah.
FFS. So no, I wanted something more cultural rather than more tactical.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people have tactical names nowadays.
Yeah.
So I wanted something that was more cultural and referred to the Philippines. And so
you didn't want to have Combat Systems of the Philippines?
No, because I didn't want to label myself as the combat in the combatives area either. So one of the things that I remembered was my father used to produce self-publish a cultural magazine, Filipino cultural magazine, and he was doing it he started doing it at the time when you would actually print your article, mm-hmm. cut it up, and paste it down.
Oh, yeah.
Before it goes to a printer.
Yeah.
Eventually, you know, eventually computers came along and he was able to do it at a computer. But when he first started doing it, he was actually cutting and pasting.
Wow.
Words onto something that would go to a printer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that magazine was called Heritage. And I'm thinking, well, there's a word that I don't see in any of those organizations out there.
Mm-hmm.
So the next day, I told Tuhon Chris, I thought of a new name, Filipino Martial Heritage. And he said, okay, that's better. So that's how he got me thinking. And that's how I came up with that name, which I'm still using right now.
It's good. I think it's good. You know, I asked you before, you know, about like the, you know, your class and stuff like that. So this is sort of like a two-part question. One is in the academy, in the Santo Academy, what do you think are some of the major changes in what's been taught or how it's been taught through the years? And then sort of outside of the Inosano Academy, just in general, you know, because now it's been like a good amount of time that you've been exposed to martial arts and have a lot of familiarity with it. How have you seen, what changes do you think have been like the most significant in martial arts in general? So the first one's like in the Inosano Academy. The second one is just in martial arts in general. What do you think are some of the main changes that you've seen?
Well, in the Inosano Academy, there's certain things that Guru Dan has been teaching through the years.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the Sombrada drill.
Mm-hmm.
And that has been around as far as I can remember. But the things that change might be, he would get a new instructor. For example, Edgar Sulite
mm-hmm.
came in and with his art of Lameco.
Mm-hmm.
So then Guru Dan would start teaching some aspects of Lameco, mm-hmm. which had some roots in Illustrissimo, for example. Mm-hmm. And so while he would still be teaching, as I said, certain drills, he would then be incorporating certain aspects. He would teach certain segments that he would say, maybe this is from Lameco.
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe he would teach something that he would say is from Doce Pares, maybe from Piquini Tertia, maybe from Illustrissimo,
mm-hmm.
Or from Penjak Silat, from Herman Sawanda, and Pendekar Paul Dittwar. So while there's things that he had been teaching for a long time and is still teaching, what would change is he would start adding maybe new drills and new ideas or concepts and techniques that he would get from his current instructors. Like Balintawak, you know, he's been teaching every now and then some aspects of Balintawak because it's one of those things that he had trained in. So I think some things are similar. One thing about the older group, Guru's older group, who had contact with, let's say, Liu Heron, Angel Cabales, Lucky Lokai, you know, Villa Brill.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them use lower stances than what people do nowadays.
Yeah.
I think today, I remember when Lameco came in, and which I said had Illustrissimo principles or ideas,
mm-hmm.
and they tended to stand more upright mm-hmm. rather than crouching.
Yeah.
So if you look at Guru Jeff Imada, when he does something, he tends to be more of a crouching position rather than a straight stand up.
Yeah.
And so that's one way you could kind of tell who's who was from which generation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because most of the newer generation now stand up. They're not in a crouching position when they're doing things.
Yeah.
I do both. Sometimes I crouch, sometimes I stand up straight, because, you know, it's all part of the lessons that I've learned through the years. So yeah. I don't want to say I'm only gonna stand straight and not crouch, but I don't want to say I'm only gonna crouch and not stand up mm-hmm. straight.
Yeah.
Because as Guru Dan says, you learn something from everyone. So I think I picked up things from everyone, even the people who I never trained a long time with.
Yeah.
Because you can't help but pick up ideas, you know, because ideas are what helps you create new things.
Mm-hmm. So what do you think, like, in martial arts in general, through the years?
As far as martial arts in general, or yeah. Filipino martial arts?
Just in general, like martial arts in general. Well, or I guess maybe Filipino martial arts in general.
Well, just briefly, in general, when I first started, Muay Thai was not too well known.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, Guru Dan had one student who would do Muay Thai, but nobody else really knew about it.
Mm.
When I was in college, when I would see a Muay Thai demonstration every now and then, I didn't really understand it either.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, when I was at IMB, there was a period when they would have matches, you know, they would have Muay Thai versus kickboxing matches.
Mm-hmm.
I remember going to some of those events, and the kickboxers at that time were not really aware of what Muay Thai was.
Yeah.
But, you know, they took out certain things, like usually no elbows.
Mm-hmm.
And so they limited the rules. So, and then, of course, MMA came in. And so those are things that were not there when I first started.
Yeah.
So that would be a change. And as far as the Filipino arts, now you have YouTube and the internet.
Yeah,
so where true. Before, you would maybe read about an art, maybe see a picture, but have no idea how they moved.
Mm-hmm.
Now you go to YouTube and look for their posting, which
yeah.
a lot of people post things now. So yeah. I think some things are easier to maybe learn, because let's say you go to class and you take your lesson, and then you go online and you find people from the same system teaching also, and then you see, maybe it will help you, maybe it won't.
Mm-hmm.
But it's easier now for knowledge to propagate. So I think, but that applies to all martial arts right now, not yeah. just the Filipino arts, and actually a lot of knowledge in general. It's easier. You don't have to go to a library now. Look at an encyclopedia, because you couldn't check out the encyclopedia. You would have to go to the library, sit yeah. there, do your research. Now you can do your research on whatever topic online. So I mm-hmm. think that's one of the bigger things. And of course, cameras and yeah, video.
That's true.
The reason we have videos of Tatang Ilustrisimo in Manila is because Christopher Ricketts had a video camera.
Mm-hmm.
You know, at a time when most people did not have a video camera.
Yeah.
So if he didn't have a video camera, a lot of the footage we see now, we would never have seen.
Mm-hmm.
So I think technology has brought changes, you know, to the world, not just martial arts.
Yeah. Now, what is the... Do you have... Is there like a driving mission or vision for Filipino martial heritage?
Well, one of the things now is this year was my fifth year of holding a training camp in Cebu. So 5 years where I've actually had students to come over and train in the Philippines.
Yeah.
What happens there is I teach, but I also bring in local instructors. And the idea for that is for people to experience training in the Philippines. But all so not just martial arts, but also they get the cultural experience of being in the country where the art came from. So nowadays, with so many people teaching, you can find good instructors in any country.
Yeah,
you know, so it's not limited to the Philippines, not limited to the U.S. There's good instructors all over the world. So as far as training, you can train in many places, not just the Philippines, obviously. But the only thing you can't replicate is you can't replicate being in the Philippines, let's say in the U.S.
Yeah.
Or in Europe.
Yeah.
So you can't say, we're in the U.S., we're going to pretend we're in the Philippines, we're going to go to a Filipino event where you'll see a lot of Filipinos. You'll get to eat the food. You'll get to hear the language maybe around you. But you're still in the U.S. You're still in California. You're still in New York or somewhere. So the only thing you really can't replicate is being in the country.
Yeah.
You know, like you can't say, let's go to a Thai event and pretend we're in Thailand.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, let's go to a Hawaiian festival and see what it's like to be in Hawaii. Well, if you want to see what it's like to be in Hawaii, you would go to Hawaii.
Yeah.
So what I'm providing is a way for people to be able to go to the Philippines, get some training in, and more important is for me is they get a cultural experience of what it's like to be in the Philippines.
Yeah.
The training they can get anywhere. I mean, however, there are certain people who have never left the Philippines that, you know, that, let's say, international students don't have access to unless they go to the Philippines. And so the other thing is a lot of the traveling, almost all the traveling I've done, you know, in the last, let's say, 20 years, has been because of martial arts, Filipino martial arts. So whether I'm teaching a seminar or a workshop, or I'm actually in the Philippines. So a lot of things have come to me because of the arts, and so I want to also give back to the arts. So one way is exactly what I'm doing is organizing trips to the Philippines. So people will have maybe a guide with them. Because if I was going to go to some country, not knowing anybody there, you know, maybe I'll have an easy time, maybe I'll have a hard time. But at least for someone interested in going to the Philippines and maybe want to attend one of my camps, you know, I become their guide.
Yeah.
So they get to meet and interact with different people, you know, and hopefully have a better experience. So that's one thing that I think I'm able to provide at this time. I think I also want to spend more time in the Philippines and help be a bridge between, let's say, the U.S. and the Philippines. So people from the U.S. have never been to the Philippines have certain ideas about what it's like to be there.
Yeah. Yeah,
and people in the Philippines who have never been to the U.S. have ideas of what it's like to be in the U.S. So some of those things are correct. Some of the things might not be 100% correct. But since I am from the U.S. now, but I also grew up in the Philippines. And, well, I spent my early days in the Philippines, and I still speak the language of Tagalog. You know, it's, in a way, I am part of both worlds.
Yeah.
You know, the U.S., the U.S. FMA world, and now that I've been going to the Philippines, I've made a lot of contacts, so I'm sort of a small part of the world also in the Philippines. So I'm not the only one, but I'm one of the people who you could be sort of a bridge between the two cultures.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's always a pleasure to see you, Guru. You know, when I come out here, obviously, like, we've been friends for many years, and, you know, I've always considered you like a friend and a senior under Guru Dan. I really do appreciate the different. I think it's very clear to me that, you know, when you're teaching, you're not teaching, you know, there's some instructors that are very kind of by the book, so they'll teach a curriculum, like a series, and you're not so much like that, but at the same time, so you, at least my interpretation is when I've learned from you or when I see you teach, you're not teaching, you know, verbatim curriculum, but it's also clear that all of, you know, like the great source of your information is from Guru Innocento.
Yeah, I mean, there's many ways to teach a certain topic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, sometimes, so one of my jobs is to figure out which way to teach, let's say, how to teach a double stick drill. So that it, rather than spending 3 weeks to learn a pattern,
mm-hmm.
you learn it in an hour. You know? Yeah. So different people have different ways they learn, and so part of my job is to figure out how to make someone learn. So it's sometimes you do that by staying within the curriculum, or sometimes you do that by stepping out of the curriculum, you know, and finding other ways to teach someone or passing on information. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the things that I try to do.
Well, you know, it's always a good time when we're able to chat. Most of the time these days it's on the phone. But, you know, I appreciate you taking the time tonight. It's, you know, it's after classes and everything, and it's late. I'm sure you're tired. I'm a little tired because I'm on East Coast time. But I appreciate you taking the time to, you know, like, to sit down and tell me your story.
Well, you're more tired than I am, but it's good to always... It's always good to get together so we can talk, which we don't really get to do often.
Yeah. So, yeah, that's true. I mean,
so
even
this
when
is,
I've...
this is a good, it's a good that we had this time to actually sit down and find the time to talk about all these things.
Yeah. So, you know, when I'm able to bring you out to Maryland, you know, we can continue some of these talks and, you know, have you... spreading your seed around the country.
Well, we'll look forward to that, because it's always good to meet new people, you know, and it is a, it's not a bad way. It's not a bad way to get together, you know, when you're learning new things and meeting new friends.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
we'll look forward to that time.
Okay, Guru. Thanks again. I would say I'll talk to you soon, but I will talk to you soon.
Cause... Okay, we will talk again.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.